Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, Kevin, so we have to give Rick Bayless his due because we weren't making fun of him at all.
No, of course not.
But think of to have a palate where you could taste a fast food chicken sandwich and know that it's been brined, right?
That's good. I know. I thought it was very...
That's pretty impressive.
Clearly knows what he's talking about.
By the way, the best salsa you can buy at the grocery store is his roasted tomato salsa from Frontera. All right, do you agree?
Yeah, you can get Frontera at the airport as well, too. It's always packed.
Oh, yeah, at the grill. Okay, let's stop talking about that. On the phone line now is Gay Gordon Byrne. She is the executive director of the Repair Association. The Repair Association, what's that? Gay, welcome.
Hi, Steve. You guys were making me hungry there.
We had Rick Bayless, the famous chef, talking about chicken sandwiches. It's pretty funny earlier. I don't know if you heard.
I heard enough to get hungry.
Well, that's good. We're doing our job. So I was mentioning earlier that in the EU, beginning today, consumer electronics like washers, refrigerators, things like that, have to be repairable for 10 years. I mean, I can remember taking in, I don't know if it was a tape deck or something like that years ago, and they said, you know, it's better just to buy a new one. We can't really fix it. It doesn't, they're not made that way. And they're fighting that in the EU, and you're fighting that here, correct?
Yes. Absolutely. It's a good timing. I'm glad you guys reached out because there's a bill that just got filed in Illinois yesterday for the right to repair, and it's pretty broad. It's broader than what the EU has done.
Well, what? Tell me about it.
Well, the EU bill only applies to a very small number of pieces of equipment. It's an odd batch. It's TVs, hair dryers. I think there's washer dryers and maybe a couple other things. And they were looking at the energy use of those products and how it was a bad idea to just keep throwing those away. And here we've been looking at more from a perspective of you bought it, you own it. You should be able to fix it. And all of these limits that we put on ourselves about repair are really kind of wrong, and we should be able to address that. And there's over 20 state legislatures that are looking at doing just that.
Well,
and Illinois is one of them.
And do you know the specifics at all of the Illinois bill?
Yeah, I definitely do. It says that if you're going to sell products in Illinois, if they have a digital electronic part, you've got to make available to the consumer or to an independent repair shop the parts, the tools, the diagnostics, the firmware, and I think a schematic diagram so that people can get their stuff fixed, even if the manufacturer doesn't want to.
I mean, so we're a long way from when, you know, you could unscrew the toaster cover maybe and fix your toaster at home. It takes a little more sophistication than that. But so are we talking about at-home fixes, or are we talking about the fact that, I mean, even repair shops, the companies, the manufacturers, don't give, the mom-and-pop repair shop access to this information or tools or parts that would allow them to fix the electronic goods?
Oh, you're absolutely right. One of the reasons we said consumers and repair shops is that if somebody said, well, we don't want to sell to a competitor, meaning that, you know, they don't want to sell to the local repair shop, the consumer should at least be able to get that. And then they can take the parts and whatever to whoever they want.
Oh, I see.
So it was framed that way to make sure that everybody that wants to be able to fix their stuff or have somebody they trust help them will be able to do that.
Is there much of a repair shop business these days?
It's almost dead.
Yeah.
Really, it's truly almost dead. It's been dying for 25 years. The only bright spot in repair right now is that there's a pretty active cell phone repair community that has been getting around the limitations made by, like, Apple and Samsung. Well, they won't sell parts. It's a pretty ambitious group of people that have figured out how to get parts and to make the tools that you need and write the instructions. So there's a group called iFixit. Full disclosure, they're members of our board of directors, but it's a website that just does how to fix stuff.
Well, full disclosure, God bless them.
Yeah.
you mentioned tools, too, right? Because these manufacturers will make their products in a way that you have to have a specific specialized tool that's just not available outside that company.
Some of the tools are physical, like, you know, the funny shaped screwdriver heads, and some of them are really kind of software tools. So we just say tools because it covers both. But they're making repair almost impossible. And I'd say about 90% of the products on the market today, you can't fix.
I mean, everything we buy now is we unfortunately consider it disposable. And with emphasis on climate change and being green, you would think that there'd be widespread support for things like this, right? We wouldn't have to throw things away so often. So it's introduced in several legislatures. Is it law anywhere?
Not yet. The corollary, the bill that we copied, was automotive right to repair. That was law. It was passed in 2012 in Massachusetts. And after that bill was passed, the manufacturer said, holy cow, we can't deal with 50 different variations of this. So they did settle on the Massachusetts law as the basis for a national agreement, which is why you can get your Toyota fixed at your local mechanic in Illinois. You don't have to be in Massachusetts.
Oh,
they agreed.
Okay, yeah. So are you close in any states?
I think so. We've had a heck of a start to the year. I mean, we have more bills than we've ever had. More of the bills are more serious, where the sponsors are. There's lots of co-sponsors. There's bills in the House and the Senate in a lot of states. So, yeah, we think we're in a breakthrough year.
It seems to me like it's a David and Goliath fight, right, when it comes to – and you're not Goliath. When it comes
not
to
– Not that I look lately.
And I'm just thinking of lobbying, you know, against the legislators. That's got to be an uphill battle for you guys.
Oh, it's a ridiculous battle. We can't even pretend to fight it on a level playing field. I mean, the money against us is like 30-1, and we don't even care.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible to care. What we have been able to do is, you know, we sit down with legislators like everybody does, and we explain the problem, and the first thing that happens is they pick up a broken cell phone and hold it up and say, oh, you mean like this?
So everyone knows. But
everyone knows that there's a big problem. A lot of people didn't know that the problem had a legislative solution.
Okay, so but you, I'm trying to raise some money for you here, Gay. We're talking to
good. I hope so.
Gay Gordon Byrne, the executive director of the Repair Association. It's actually called Right to Repair, or I should say, Digital Right to Repair Coalition. But wouldn't you have like I don't know about Greenpeace, but other environmental groups interested in helping you out?
Oh, very much so. We have a number of really excellent partners that are in the environmental space as well as just in the general consumer rights space. U.S. PIRG is a big member. Consumer Union, a.k.a. Consumer Reports, they're a big member. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, which argues a lot of the intellectual property law in this nation. There's some really great partners out there, and a lot of the recycling and the reuse coalitions are also advocating with us. That does make it a little less of a David versus Goliath, but honestly, the money imbalance is unbelievable.
I would imagine.
And we are member funded. We don't, as you imagine, there's no manufacturers giving us money.
I guess what you don't have in money, you do have perhaps in masses and voice. If you can mobilize all of us to stand up and demand things, the lawmakers, while they probably won't follow that as much as the money, they can't help, they can't ignore it.
Oh, they don't. It's been our number one weapon. Is that, if, for example, in New York State, when we first got started, we were able to get, through a variety of just a lot of hard work, got about 32,000 individual consumers to write their legislators in New York. So when I go sit down with somebody in New York State now, I hand them a list of 300 names.
Perfect.
These are your constituents. They want their right to repair, and it is transformational. So if people can go to repair.org, we have a map there. Just pick your state where you live, obviously Illinois, and then fill in your address and tell your legislator, and we make it just as easy as we possibly can. It's free. Just hope that people will tell their legislators how much they need this, use an example, and they will hear. They really will.
I would imagine it won't be like the automobile industry in that if you do get one state, it's not like that's going to then apply to all 50 states because there's so many different manufacturers, right?
Oh, you're very right about that. I don't know how it would be possible to do just a single memorandum of understanding. So I think it's going to take a bit of work. But I think manufacturers are going to want to comply voluntarily, because otherwise they're going to be facing the kind of mandates that we're seeing coming out of Europe, where not only are people being told you have to help people repair your stuff, they're now telling you how you have to design your product.
Yeah, we're talking to Gay Gordon Byrne, the executive director of the Repair Association. She's out to fix your problems. I appreciate you joining us, and good luck, Gay.
Well, thank you so much.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. We're not far from the news from the Northwest Medicine Newsroom.
Chicago's very own